Where's Dog?
With her. I watched Vic pull a depleted 4-pack from the commissary refrigerator. I guess you decided that if you were going to take him out cavorting with wolves, that you weren't a responsible guardian.
She's probably right.
The Cheyenne Nation handed out paper plates and plasticware and opened the box.
You know, this place takes on completely different environs at night.
Really? He dropped the first slice on my plate.
Yes, much worse.
Setting my plate on the stoop beside me, I took the can Vic proffered and opened it, taking a deep draft.
I needed that.
Vic examined her slice. You didn't get anchovies on this, did you?
I procured exactly what you ordered.
I took another sip before attending the lesser need.
Anyway, how come you get to decide?
Making use of the oversized canine tooth, she took her first bite. Because I'm Italian, and you two are heathens who would put pineapple on pizza. Henry shook his head in mock outrage.
I would never do that.
So, no sign of Donnie Lott? No, she shrugged. It's been 24 hours, not that that makes any difference. Who talked to his wife yesterday?
I did.
And? She seemed concerned, but in a strange way. She said that he sometimes goes for long runs. 24 hours? She pointed at the slice on my paper plate. You want to eat that pizza? Knowing her penchant for poaching, I picked up the piece and took a bite.
Where the hell could he be?
The bear folded his slice, taking half of it with one bite.
With friends. Nowhere.
Vic made a face and took another. What's that supposed to mean?
Very few people can completely disappear without help.
So you think he has an accomplice?
Difficult to say, not knowing his motivation in this situation. Is he attempting to retrieve his son? Trying to get at Aberane something to do with the wife? These affairs of the heart are always the most difficult, or there is the more simplified answer.
Which is?
Dead people are much easier to make disappear, especially in parts.
He reached down and picked up another piece. Slice? Very funny.
Going back to this wolf, if it is a wolf. Everything has a voice, but you will not hear it unless you listen.
He leaned back with one of his wide hands covering his knee.
Human social interaction is more closely akin to that of wolves than to the primates your Darwin saw as our ancestors. We could do worse than to see ourselves affiliated with a master hunter par excellence.
He looked up at me.
Virgil White Buffalo was a shaman, but there are older terms, such as the Shivan or spirit helper. But that description is misleading in that it is sometimes the animal spirit that picks the shaman to embody.
Vic looked doubtful. Doesn't the person have anything to say about that? The bear shook his head.
Not really. To deny the spirit helper is to invite madness or death.
Dropping the piece of pizza on his plate, he looked up at me again, his voice echoing off the high ceiling of the miniature rotunda.
I have another question.
Go ahead.
Do you still have the ring that Virgil White Buffalo gave you in the mountains a year or so ago?
I sat there looking at him.
I do. Reaching under my collar, I pulled out the dog tag chain that held the massive ring,
which looked more like a pipe fitting in the reflected light of the old library's entryway fixtures. The turquoise and coral wolves flashing as they chased each other in the silver in a never-ending pursuit.
Chapter 12.
Liam is in good hands.
Child Services has him until his mother gets here from Colorado. Then I think she's planning on taking him back there. I thought I would see if I could get them to use Dave and Sally Anders. They're good people.
Ruby leaned on my doorway, sipped her coffee, and studied me.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
I don't know. What am I thinking?
She doesn't seem overly concerned about her missing husband.
She seems more concerned with getting her son back, which I suppose is normal.
I stared at the black dormant screen on my computer, matching my mood in every aspect.
Any word on Abe?
Still unconscious in Casper. She gestured with a post-it. You did get a phone message from Clay Miller that Jacques Ariette was at Paradise Guest Ranch, picking up some wine, and Clay can point you to where his camp is on the mountain.
Well, that's something.
Who is Jacques Ariette?
Another of Abe's shepherds who was probably on the mountain when Hernandez was killed.
A person of interest.
For lack of anybody else.
She studied me. How are you feeling?
Fine.
She studied me with her searchlight blues. Really fine or Walt fine? I reached out, tapped the space bar, and watched Katie's and Lola's faces appear.
Somewhere between.
You're not thinking of going up the mountain, are you?
Maybe.
Walter, the doctors said for you to rest.
I am resting. Besides, it's just a ride in my truck. It's not like I'm climbing up there with a pair of crampons and an ice axe.
One never knows, does one?
She shook her head and disappeared, only to be replaced by the Basco.
We have a problem.
When do we not?
Ice.
What, the refrigerator's broken?
Immigration and Customs Enforcement, part of Homeland Security.
Evidently my funny bone was in need of a little fine-tuning. What about them?
They want Miguel Hernandez.
I leaned back in my chair.
Well, tell them they're going to have to get in line behind the Chilean authorities and the man's family back home. You don't understand. They want him alive.
I'm sure that's what we'd all prefer, but it's a little late for that.
I'm sure it's pushback from the U.S. Embassy in Chile.
Did you tell him he's dead?
The guy I was talking to didn't seem to get it.
I stared at him.
What part of dead did he not seem to get?
That they couldn't take Hernandez back to D.C. and interview him there.
Well, they're welcome to take him back to D.C., but the interview is going to be a disappointment.
He wanted to talk to my supervisor.
Your what?
Supervisor.
He nodded toward my phone. Line two.
I stared at the red light. You're kidding.
I wish I was.
I picked up the receiver and punched the button.
Walt Longmire, Absaroka County Sheriff and Supervisor.
There was fumbling, and then someone spoke on what sounded like a speakerphone.
Sheriff, this is Agent Steve Phelps of the Enforcement and Removal Operations.
I thought you were Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
I'm both.
Hero and ICE?
Yes, sir.
Sounds confusing. There was a pause.
Sheriff, do you have Miguel Hernandez in custody?
In a way.
Well, we want him.
Why?
Because he's a war criminal.
Of all the things I was expecting to hear, this was not one of them. And I took a moment to reassess. Excuse me?
Alfredo Rafael Anaya is a former agent of the now disbanded Colombian DAS, or Departamento Administrativo de Seguridad. He's wanted back in his home country for countless murders, including three journalists, a sociologist, and his own bodyguard.
Wait a minute. We are talking about a shepherd by the name of Miguel Hernandez, right?
An alias that Alfredo's been using for about 4 years now. We got intel from the attaché in Bogotá, and the Human Rights and War Crime Center, the HRVWCC, identified Anaya as being involved with war crimes, persecution, extrajudicial killings, and recruitment of child soldiers.
Vic, ever with her antenna alert, appeared at the other side of the doorway from Sizer Vittoria and watched me questioningly.
How did you connect this Anaya fellow to Hernandez?
The Colorado Department of Labor has all their international employees fingerprinted, and one of their people pointed out some anomalies in Hernandez's papers, and when they supplied the prints to us, Anaya popped up. With all these human rights violations, the Colombians want him bad.
When was this?
The violations?
No.
The notification from Colorado. About 2 weeks ago.
And it took you this long to find him?
Long pause.
You're not exactly on the beaten path, Sheriff. As I'm to understand, he was posing as a Chilean national and was a sheepherder in the Montana wilderness?
Wyoming.
I glanced at Vic, who sat in the chair across from my desk. Can you send us the information you have on this case?
Certainly. Can you hold him till we can get there? We'll start the deportation process here in D.C. and then take custody of the prisoner within 24 hours.
I can hold him for as long as you want, but you better get in touch with the Chilean consul in that they're pressuring us to return him to them.
We can take care of that.
There's just one more detail you should probably be aware of.
I'm listening.
He's dead.
Excuse me?
Miguel Hernandez or Alfredo Rafael Anaya or whoever the heck he is, he's dead.
Dead?
As Kelsey's nuts.
You sure of that?
Pretty sure, yep. I glanced at Vic, who cocked an eyebrow. We've seen dead out here before. The longest pause yet.
That's inconvenient.
Imagine how Hernandez and I have felt about it.
How did he die?
Suicide, possible murder.
Murder?
Possibly. That's going to complicate things. Not for Hernandez and I, it's not. It is with the Colombian government. I leaned back in my chair and looked out the window and resigned myself to the thought that the case was about to get a lot more complicated. So, what do you want to do about this, Agent?
I guess we have to come and identify the body and then have the remains shipped to Colombia. You have photos, and is the body intact?
Besides a general autopsy and a little wolf nibbling, yes.
Excuse me?
I'm sure our medical examiner has photos.
Can you have those sent to me?
My dispatcher or the hospital can. Hold on just a moment. I cupped a hand over the receiver and called out,
Ruby? What's the nearest airport there in Montana?
I uncovered the receiver.
Wyoming. Gillette Casper Sheridan.
So our Chilean shepherd was some kind of covert Colombian badass?
Vic was sitting outside on the bench in the back of the courthouse. She had decided to accompany me in neither the peace nor the quiet as we sat there in the warmth of the early afternoon. According to the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Homeland Security. I leaned my head back and nudged my hat up, enjoying the sunshine on my face.
Yep.
Aren't they supposed to know where the airports are?
Evidently they don't know where Wyoming is.
What are the chances he's one of the assassins that Bidarte hired?
It crossed my mind. But why the heck would he be shepherding up in the Bighorn Mountains? Pretty deep cover, if you ask me.
Just a thought.
No, I think it's pretty straight up. He was a war criminal, hiding in the farthest region he could find.
I shrugged.
If he hadn't been killed, we wouldn't have been made aware of him.
So? Who killed him?
That is the $64,000 question now, isn't it? Somebody he had a run-in with in his previous life?
Possibly.
But I don't see a wide range of suspects. Besides, even with my eyes closed, I could sense hers on me.
Besides what?
His literary tastes, what Kasich said about him, it just doesn't match with the kind of brutal thug that the agent was describing. Shrugging again, I swiveled my head and looked at my undersheriff. But I could be wrong.
Why don't you go home?
With a murder investigation and a missing persons case looming?
Speaking of, the Lot at Chapare woman is supposed to be here this afternoon to pick up Liam.
I know, Ruby mentioned it. Any idea what her plans are?
Nada.
Ruby also pointed out that she seems somewhat unconcerned about her missing husband.
She hasn't exactly burned the roads getting up here.
I nodded. Well, I want to stick around long enough to speak with her. But I was thinking about heading up the mountain to talk with Jacques Ariette, the Basque shepherd who may or may not have had contact with Hernandez.
Or Anaya?
Whichever. I shook my head. It just doesn't make sense.
Name me something about this case that does.
I stood and stretched my back, pulling at my abdomen where I now had a spanking new surgical drain and padding, which felt like a sidecar taped to my ribcage. The side hurts.
She stood facing me, hands on hips. Good. Hope it keeps you up at night.
That's not very nice. I'm at the top of the office pool. I nodded and reached out, placing a hand on her shoulder. Okay. How about you stay here and get an interview out of Jeannie Lott, and I take Sizer Vittoria and head up the mountain and meet up with the Basco herder? She started to interrupt, but I continued. That way, if anything happens, Sancho shoots to the top of the charts and you get off the list. She thought about it, trying to find a flaw in my logic, but failing, in a sense.
On one condition.
What's that? She hugged me gently, avoiding the apparatus taped to my side. you make it a small altercation.
Turning to walk back into the office, I noticed a familiar Toyota pickup pulling into our parking lot.
Uh-oh. Is that the choo-choo woman?
I believe so.
Good, I want to talk to her.
How about I talk to her first? Catching Vic's arm, I urged her toward the office. I want to see her response to the latest information on Hernandez and Aya.
What, and I'll get in the way?
You might punch her. Besides, I think she'll be more open if I talk to her myself. Horrifically, she couldn't find a fault in that logic either.
Fine.
I got the full hand flap with that one as she made her way up the steps without looking back. Kasich Chichu crossed the parking lot with Gansu and studied me as I leaned against the steel railing and raised my hands.
No wrestling. I've got a new drain on my side.
She stopped, looking concerned.
Was that my fault?
No. She approached, but then leaned on the opposite railing. Holding her arms, she looked at me disapprovingly.
What did you do?
You know, I'm really getting tired of being asked that question by all the women in my life, even the ones I barely know.
Sorry,
she smiled. You looked pretty good last night at the wolf meeting when you threatened to throw that hunter out the window.
That's what I hear.
I guess you don't respond like that very often?
No.
She continued smiling.
Well, that explains why the whole crowd looked like they didn't know what to do.
I smiled back, happy to change the subject.
Kasich, how much do you know about Miguel Hernandez's history?
Her smile faded.
What I've told you, why?
Santiago, Chile, with a wife and kids?
Yes.
Ruby poked her head out from the heavy glass door and glanced around, spotting me.
Walt, sorry to interrupt, but Child Services took Liam over to the Anders place on Parmalee Street.
I thought they lived in Fetterman.
They moved. People do.
She disappeared as I turned back to Kasich.
And you got that information about his family life from Hernandez himself?
Watching Ruby go, she turned back to me.
Why are you asking me these questions?
It's a possibility that he's not who he says he was.
I don't understand.
I pulled the report from my pocket, unfolded the single sheet, and handed it to her. I got a call from the Immigration and Customs Enforcement folks in D.C., and they gave me a report on Mr. Hernandez that doesn't match up with the information you gave.
She studied the piece of paper and then looked at me. Who's Rafael Anaya?
They say it's Hernandez.
She studied the page anew. This doesn't make any sense. I've seen pictures of his family and even spoken with his wife in Chile.
Stooping down, I smoothed her dog's ears. Is it possible that he went there after Colombia?
He has children.
I straightened and ignored the pain in my side.
How old? 2 and 3.
So he could have had them after escaping. She looked at the paper again and then back up at me.
This really doesn't make any sense. This is not the person I knew.
The ICE agent seemed to think the fingerprints made the case pretty irrefutable. She continued reading, but then looked at me again, her eyes beginning to well.
This can't be Miguel.
Well, they're going to be here tomorrow to collect the remains. That is, if they can find Wyoming. And I'm sure they're going to want to speak with you.
She straightened. Why?
You knew him. And you were one of the last people to see him before he was killed.
Yep.
She handed me back the paper.
How did they become aware of Miguel's existence and whereabouts?
Your own Colorado Department of Labor.
She looked stymied. How?
Anomalies in the fingerprints threw a red flag.
We don't fingerprint people at the Department of Labor.
Somebody did. Would you mind getting in touch with them and finding out what's going on from their end? And in the meantime, I'd appreciate you talking to Agent Phelps when he arrives tomorrow.
I can't.
Why not? She turned and looked at her truck, and for a moment I thought she might make a break for it.
I need to get back to Missoula.
Because?
Work. I need to get back for work.
Folding up the paper, I stuffed it into my pocket again and gave her my most suspicious look, which I'm sure was amplified by my nifty new scar.
That's sudden. What about the Wolf Conservancy and 777M? I need to make a living while saving the world, you know.
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you not to leave town
until you speak with this guy from D.C.
I'm telling you I can't.
Miss Chishu, we're talking about a homicide investigation here. I'm sure I don't need to impress upon you the importance of acquiring as much evidence as we can about Miguel Hernandez in our attempts to try and bring his killer to justice.
Look, I understand, but I need a shower.
Excuse me?
She glanced at the Toyota. I've been living out of my truck for about a week now, and I need a shower.
That's what this is all about?
I stink.
I hadn't noticed. As I studied her, she avoided my eyes. We've got a shower in the jail downstairs.
I'd rather not.
Reaching for my wallet, I started to pull out some bills. Seeing as how you're a primary witness, I think the county can...
No!
I sighed. You're not leaving me many options.
Where do you live?
About 15 miles out of town.
Is there room to park my truck?
Well, there's plenty of room, but
when you get through today, I'll follow you out and take a shower at your place, then I can just sleep in my camper.
I don't think that's such a good idea.
It'll be a great way to keep track of me till the immigration people get here, right?
She pushed off toward her vehicle, gesturing for the dog, who gave me one last look and then followed.
I'll be back at 5 o'clock.
Miss Chichu. I watched as she jumped in and pulled out, wheeling into traffic and disappearing as Sizer Pretoria came down the steps to peer after her along with me.
So we're going up the mountain?
Sure. I brushed past him. I could use some air. Turning the piece of paper in his hands, Sancho attempted to get oriented.
You know, this would be a lot easier if Clay Miller had put a compass reading on here, like something indicating north or south.
Glancing over as I drove on the far surface road, I thought I spotted a geographic marker and pointed,
Is that South Rock Creek, that line there?
He stated himself with a hand on the dash.
I thought that was the road we were on.
He turned his face back to Dog, who was panting in the back seat.
Can you make it out?
Not waiting for Dog's response, I ventured an opinion. I don't think Clay has a future in cartography. Rounding the top of a ridge, we both spotted what looked like the opening to one of the larger areas on the left.
There's the park.
How can you tell?
The X beside the squiggly line.
He studied what passed for a map as I eased off the road, switched into four-wheel drive, and continued along in the thick grass toward the gigantic meadow. As we drove, he glanced around, putting my Bell and Howell binoculars up to his eyes.
So what happened with Les Harris the other night?
I sighed. He got mouthy, so I guess I got mouthy back.
You guess?
I don't particularly remember.
There are a lot of people talking about it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He lowered the binoculars and pointed.
Top of the ridge along the tree line.
I turned the wheel, diverting my course, and began the long climb across the high pasture before making the ridge and seeing the sheep wagon for myself, along with 100 head of sheep and a man on a mule fording the sea of baaing wool to reach us. Pulling up by the wagon, we waited as he made his way. I held my hand on the door to block Dog. Let's wait and see how friendly his dog is, okay? Glancing around, I took in the breakfast dishes drying in the grass, a clothesline with fluttering garments, and the general detritus that usually accompanies camps in the high country. This wagon was a little worse for wear compared with the one Hernandez had been occupying, and even had a wheel jacked up where repairs had been started, but had evidently fallen short. Wandering to my left, I spotted a copse of aspens near the wagon and fresh carvings that bordered on the pornographic. Sancho joined me, looking at the impromptu artwork.
Must get lonely up here, huh?
I pulled out the drawing I'd made from the tree near Hernandez's camp.
Know much about this stuff?
Just what I mentioned before, they're arboglyphs, kind of a private language among Basque sheepherders, and not really meant for public consumption.
I looked at one of the more graphic depictions on one of the nearest trees. I can see why.
They're usually around the Campohandia, or main sheep camp.
Turning, he raised a hand to the sheepherder who now approached us, turning behind the Australian shepherd.
Kaisho!
The other Basco tipped his beret, returned the salute, and continued to approach.
Euskaras barakizu!
Sancho nodded.
Bye, bye. Bayote?
The herder stopped his mule a little ways away and smiled shyly as the dog circled us but kept her distance.
Don Goazara?
Sancho glanced about.
Emenche.
Suddenly laughing, Ariette glanced at me.
I don't think this young fellow is from around these parts, but I know you are, big man. How are you?
Good, how are you, Mr. Ariette?
I'm good, but you don't remember me, huh?
I studied him and then shook my head. I'm afraid not.
You hold me out of the Century Club for dancing on the bar.
Oh, I tried to remember. When was that?
17 years ago.
I nodded. Must have slipped my mind. I gestured toward my truck. You mind if I let my dog out? He leaned forward on the horn of his saddle and peered at Dog.
We got a wolf here, but he looks about as big. Sure, go on.
I opened the door and Dog leapt out, at first standing still, but then noticing the Aussie and walking over to it. Ariette's dog dropped down, but then bolted away, only to turn and look at the brute again.
She wants to play.
I'm not sure how good he is at playing.
She'll teach him.
He lowered himself to the ground, and I noticed a single action 45 on his hip. Seeing me spot it, he shrugged.
Alone up here. I like to have a gun.
Sensible. I gauged his height at just over 5 feet as he placed his hands on his hips and reared back on his heels.
Yep, you're every bit as big as I remember. I hit you one in the chin when you arrested me.
Did you? He laughed.
Yeah, you didn't notice much then either.
Well, I was younger then. He glanced at Sancho Pretoria.
Gose?
Sancho smiled. I could eat. What have you got? Jacques grinned a dazzling smile, turning it toward me.
Best damn mutton on the mountain, my friends.
With the adroitness of a trained chef, the Basco moved around in the wagon's limited space and produced heavy bowls of rich stew with chunks of mutton, green peppers, and potatoes, along with homemade bread and thick slabs of Amish butter. He handed us small ornate glasses and, pulling a wine bag from beside the door, squeezed us each a serving before tipping his head back and shooting a strong stream into his mouth. Lowering his face, he smiled again and wiped his lips